Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Maze Vault podcast. You know, usually for my podcast, I have to put on blush, but for this guest, I don't need any. This is a man that stole my heart. This is a man that makes me feel fuzzy and tingly inside. This is a man who wants to buy me a $22 million mansion in Beverly Hills. He needs no introduction. He is a superstar entrepreneur and real estate investor, pilot, handsome, only to me, and doesn't want any other wife in his life. Today we have Max Maxwell!
What's up, babe? I am not buying a house ever in California, so get over that one.
You don't have to talk much on this podcast. Be quiet.
No.
Oh my God. I am so happy, honored, excited to have you on the podcast, you know?
I was wondering what we're going to talk about.
I don't know. There's so much. But you know what? Yesterday, I did like a story on my Instagram asking if anybody had questions, and 80% of the questions were about you and our marriage. People are really, really like into that, huh?
Do you ever talk about that?
I mean, I share. I'm not like guarding secrets or anything. Do you?
In my content, not really. Only if it just comes across, but you know, I don't hide it either. I mean, it's just there. The things I do, I teach a lot. So it's more about like real estate. So I don't get to really show too much in my personal life.
That's true. I think it's like exciting to see different dimensions of you because you do teach a lot, but there's a whole nother side that I'm going to bring out today because people don't know. You're a little funny.
You're going to trigger me?
You're very outgoing. You're a little funny. Not as funny as me, of course.
I'll take it.
A little outgoing. You have good taste because you're married to me, obviously.
Okay.
What?
Yeah, you're right.
You have something to say?
No, ma'am.
Okay.
I've always had good taste, though.
That's questionable. Anyways, moving along. Okay, so, you know, everybody knows you. Like, I got to know you from the real estate space.
Do people know that story?
No, I don't think so. Okay, so I went through a time in my life where I was super confused about what I was going to do with my future or my career. And so I did a plethora of things. I was Googling about real estate. I started a jewelry company with my mother. I was working at a law firm. I was putting my hands and testing all the waters. Like, I just wanted to work at every single job. I wanted to work everywhere to figure out who I was and what I was passionate about. And so I went through this phase where I learned about real estate investing. I was working full-time at a law firm and I saved up a lot of money. And I was like, you know, this is dead money sitting in the bank. Let me figure out what to do with it. And so I went on Google and I typed real estate investing and I got introduced to wholesaling. And the first person's face who popped up through my search was Max Maxwell. And so I started to deep dive into your videos and learn a lot about it. And this is in 2018. A long, long time ago.
It was like, 2018, late 2018, 2019.
Yeah. And so I started following you on YouTube. I started following you everywhere. And you like to say I slid into your DM, but that sounds very, very, very different than what I think it is.
Whatever. But you were asking me questions about real estate. It was really just innocent. And so I answered them and then we went on our way.
Yeah,
well, I answer a thousand of those. You know what I'm saying? There's a thousand of those questions all the time. So I just answered them and then I kept pushing.
Okay, cool guy, whatever. But let me tell you, I hit you up because I actually appreciated your content. I was like watching your stuff and it was very informative and it was like somebody I could relate to, somebody who was real and raw. And I gained a level of respect for you initially because I was able to watch and learn from you. And I sent you a DM, innocent, like you said, saying, oh, I really appreciate your content. And yes, you did answer.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I want to know, why are you laughing?
No, we did a whole video about this one time when we were in Dubai, right after we got married and your mom was there.
Yes.
That's on our combined channel that has two videos.
Yes.
But yeah, so we talk about this whole story, how we met. So if you've never seen that, you can go check that out.
Yeah, but it's okay. We can repeat it on the...
Sure, whatever.
I wanted to ask you, like, what got you into it? How did you get started in your videos?
In real estate or just like the videos in itself? Like making the videos?
The videos in itself.
Yeah. So in the beginning, it was really, I made a video to go on to really at Facebook at that time. And then Facebook was, I don't think was the best place to upload. So I uploaded it to YouTube and then I shared it to Facebook. And it was really accountability. Like I was telling my friends, like, yo, I'm about to start this thing. Cause I was the guy that, you know, real estate at that point was like my 13th business. Like I have done 12 other things prior to that. Some of them did terrible. Some of them did okay. And then, so I'd got to the point where I was in real estate and I wanted to document that journey of me doing real estate. And so that's where we came to me putting the YouTube video out. The first one.
Super cool. Super cool. And then like, how was it when you posted your first video? Cause I can think back to my first video posted ever and it was rough, man. I know I wasn't getting like any views, like, you know, it was probably really poorly edited. It was really raw. How was it like, were you nervous when you posted your first video?
So no, so I've worked in media before, but not really in front of the camera too much. I've done some in front of the camera things, but I was very confident in being able to like put out a simple video. I mean, obviously it's not anything like the videos we produce recently, only because I have staff now. I have people that actually do that for a living. They watch, they make videos. So I wouldn't say I was nervous, and I didn't do it for the views. It was for my friends. It was for my friends to hold me accountable. So I never thought that, okay, I should do this for the views. And then as I started to post more, it became very apparent that people were watching.
When I used to have like a bad experience with like, let's say dating or somebody, mm-hmm. I used to go to my friends and talk so much smack about the person, like really tear them. This is an extreme parallel, but I would talk so much smack so that if I ever wanted to talk to that person again or like meet up with them, they would hold me accountable in that way. Like it would be kind of like an embarrassment if I did.
Yeah, so. I mean, I just wanted people to like hold me accountable because in the videos, I would say I was going to go do certain things. And if I didn't, people would ask me.
Yeah. Oh, super cool. Okay. So did you think, obviously you had no intentions, and did you think it would end up the way it did? Did you ever have a vision of like, yo, I want to take this full blown?
Maybe the business side of it, but not the videos and the influencer side of it. It wasn't until about my fifth or sixth video, because I bought a piece of land for $250. I still own that land now. It's actually almost like a block, not a New York City block, but a Carolina block. And that video went viral and people were just like, you know, a lot of love, a lot of hate. And then people were like, how'd you do it? And then I just explained to them where I searched for the piece of property and what was wrong with it and what type of person had this property. And then it just blew up. I mean, it was thousands and thousands. This is YouTube now. So this is different than Instagram. So if you're averaging 5, 6, 10,000 views a day on YouTube, you're viral now. And so that video went pretty viral. Then I started to do this with intention now. Now I was like, okay, I really got to do this because people are asked, because I was reading every single question or comment and it was about show me how, do this or blah, blah, blah. And so then I geared my content to showing exactly how I did it.
Okay, cool. So I heard you reference New York City. Mm-hmm. What do you have against New York City? Because I grew up there. You know, I was born there. You always talk smack about it. People don't know this about Max Maxwell.
I do talk smack about it.
No, and you do have an audience, you know, a big audience in New York. So us New Yorkers, we want to know what your beef is with New York.
I was born in Port Chester, Westchester County, you know, 30 minutes outside of the city, right? I know you live in Queens. And see, this is the problem. This is the problem I'm saying. Most people that live in New York stay in that borough or that area for their whole life. So when I tell you Westchester County, the first time I ever told you where Westchester County was, you're like, I have no idea where that is. And
because
then
there's five boroughs. There's five boroughs.
Yeah, and you think, and most people in New York think the five boroughs is the entire United States. And that's the way United States should be. But I'm glad you've been able to explore beyond the five boroughs and be in North Carolina and travel the world and see other things.
You're so shady.
But other people don't get that opportunity. And so there's a lot of weird things with New York City. New York City doesn't have trash cans. The rest of the United States has trash cans. But you won't know that unless you leave one of the five boroughs. So New York does not have trash cans. It's terrible to drive in. It's absolutely terrible to find parking. I know people listen to this are going to agree with me. And anybody who's an expat, anybody that has moved from New York to any other place, initially they're scared. They're like, oh my God, this town is dead. There's nothing going on. And the number one reason why you ask somebody from New York, you say, hey, What do you love about New York? Oh, everything's open late. You can go get a chopped cheese at 3 a.m. And the reality is that person goes to bed at 10, right? And so like,
false.
It's like, when do you ever get a chopped cheese really at 3 a.m.? Like, so I just think the New York is a good place to visit. I love New York, but I can never live there. I wouldn't say never. I will never choose to live there. It's just not
anybody working at TSA, at JFK or LaGuardia. Who? We need to block this man from entering into New York City from all the smack that he talks about. Fly private anyway,
so go ahead.
Whoa. Let me tell you what people love about New York. People love the culture.
I do.
People
love the. It's amazing. The culture, the culture in New York is what makes it amazing. Not the other stuff. And so that's the real answer. You think? Yeah,
I agree, because I feel like if I didn't grow up in New York, I wouldn't be as tough and as cultured and
for sure
have so many different experiences. But I will say, can I say something? Now that I've been living in North. Oh, yeah, let me say something. Now that I'm living in North Carolina and I go back and visit New York, once it hits 10 p.m., I'm getting anxiety from being outside. I'm like, oh my God, I need to go to sleep. It is late. You turned me into a grandma, because I used to be up and out.
You're old soul anyways.
No, I was never an old soul. I was a crackhead.
Yeah, you're up late. You used to be up late. It's not safe. I mean, it's not that it's not safe. I just like to wake up early, so I go to bed early.
Yeah, now I'm on that wave. Anyways, how did you know you were going to marry me?
How did I know?
Because people always ask, like, how do you know?
Oh, how did I know that it was the right one?
Yeah, I was the right one.
Did I say it?
Yeah, you said it.
Well, how did I know that you were the right one?
We'll discuss that reference
later. I'm in trouble. How did I know you were the right one? That's a good question. I think it's not the lovey-dovey stuff like people would think. It's like, oh, you know, I really, you know. First of all, she's a very beautiful woman. You're very beautiful. But on top of that, there is a sense of, like, I love your hustle that other people don't really get to see. Like, they only get to see you for these 60 seconds being funny and blah, 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 or cracking a joke or being a character. But you have a strong hustle and you work a lot like I do. And a lot of the views and a lot of things outside of, like, everyday things were aligned. Yeah, we're similar. Yeah. And so, you know, we just made that dedication to, you know, I asked you to marry me, but we made that, I don't know how to explain it. I think if it was easy to explain, it'd be in books, and it's not. So just you, when you, here's the best thing I say, when you know, you know.
You know. I was going to be mad that you didn't have like an answer memorized and ready, like a prepared answer, you know, but that is beautiful and that makes sense. And it's true. Like, a lot of people are like, wow, you and Max are so different. He's so serious and he's always like business. And you're so like outgoing and like, you know, you do comedy and you're wild. And I'm like, I don't know. We just really respect each other. We respect like each other's fields. We have so many things in common. We love family. Like, we love to laugh. It's just, we have so many things that are similar that people don't see because we do different things. And I think that's a great thing. Like, we don't have to do the same exact thing. Like, imagine both of us looking stoic and mean and serious.
No. Yeah, I've developed a more serious, but I mean, I have a light side to me as well. I have a more serious demeanor because I'm always dealing with a lot of things. Like, I love entrepreneurship and I'm always thinking about 1,000 things in my head until I completely like shut it off. And it's very hard because, you know, I have people and families that depend on making sure I make the right decision. So there's a lot on my shoulders, but everything that I do is fun and I enjoy every single bit of it.
Yeah, and I think even for me, that was like a learning curve. Like, I'd see you thinking about a lot of things and like, I'd be like, hey, look what happened. And I'd try to like make you laugh and stuff. And you'd be like, yeah, that's cool. And then I think I had to learn how your lifestyle was and like what your thought process is. And instead of like bother you about stuff, like support it and understand it.
Yeah. But I also, you know, try my best to support and understand the stuff that you do in the sense of like, yeah, we both create content for different reasons, but we create content and it's a business. A lot of people don't think it's a business. It is a business because it's a lot of work. I mean, there's times you do the extreme things. I mean, even the investment just in equipment and people and personnel. I mean, you have employees now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think can I tell you my fear about getting married? Like, I didn't even think I was going to get married until
50, 60.
Like, I didn't even have a number in my head, but I know that like, I just didn't have marriage in my head because I was like, who am I going to find that will support me doing what I'm doing and what I built? And like, I say this all the time. Like, I remember like talking to other people who were also like guys that were content creators who would be like, no, I don't want my future wife to be in public, or I don't want her, you know, and I would work so hard and I'd create videos with my mom and I really wanted it to be a career and a brand and a lifestyle. And I was like, oh, damn, I guess I'm gonna be going to the grave single, because I, you know, I was really passionate. And like I said, like when I first was getting to know you, I was just trying to find out my passion and what I wanted to do. And then when I found it, I felt so happy and secure. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, damn, like if it's gonna have to be that, then it's gonna have to be that. And then it's so crazy to find that you do content creation in a different way, and like you have an understanding of it. It was just like, wow. And I think, remember when you came to my house and you were in a corner and my brothers and my dad were looking at you?
You were grilling me?
Grilling you? You remember you went through the grilling process?
Yeah.
And my brother was like, what about her content creation? How do you feel about that? That was really like a test. Like,
yeah, I got two studios. We can help with that. That's easy.
Yeah. Can I say, how did you feel about the grilling process? Can you explain from your perspective how it was to pull up to my house? Because I think a lot of people are nervous about that process of like asking for somebody's hand. And there's no guideline. Like you could try to go on Google.
Yeah, there's no book. I tried to look for one.
One thing people don't know about Max is he's a researcher, okay? If he has any questions, he's on Google, he's on YouTube, he's searching. So how did you feel about that?
I was terrified. It was the first time I ever was put in that situation, you know, in the last 5 years of my life. Up until that point, I was the one doing the interviewing and the grilling, and then the tables have turned. But, you know, it was good, man. Alhamdulillah. It worked out to where, you know, obviously we got married and, you know, they had a lot of questions about who I was, but good and bad. I was Googleable. I don't even know. I don't even feel right saying that. They Googled and asked me a lot of questions of things that were online. And I knew that because things are online, just online. And, but it was cool overall. Your older brother, he was reserved. He did his homework. Your younger brother, he's cool. He's legit. But he asked some serious questions too. And your dad was kind of just in the corner. I don't think that your dad really believed everything because it sounds kind of unreal.
Yeah, because you came in like a storm. Like it was like I went from being single to, hey, like somebody's asking for my hand and they're very serious.
Like very serious.
And they would be like, yeah, like very, very serious. And then you came in, you were ready. And then like, even when my dad's like, when do you want to get married? And you were like, in the beginning of, okay, so it was what, around?
November.
October, November? November.
November, it was the first week in November.
It was the first week of
first
November.
First or second week in November, like, yeah. I think it was the 12th or 13th of November. Yeah, whatever.
And my dad's like, when do you want to get married? And Max goes, oh, in the beginning of the year, before the year starts, remember? Mm-hmm. You wanted to start the new year off, like, together, married.
Yeah.
And my dad was shell-shocked. Like, my dad is like, he said, what? And my mom was the opposite. My mom's like, alhamdulillah, a serious guy is not one that wants to, like, spend a very long time, drag things out. So for her, like, that was, like, the perfect word she could hear.
Yeah, because for me, it was, be honest with everybody, it was not on my horizon. I didn't start the new year saying I'm going to get married, yet alone saying I'm going to get married to May. You know what I mean? I was in the process of building a home, the one we live in now. Earlier that year, I had bought, before the pandemic got worse, I had bought a diamond, just a raw diamond, no stone, just a stone. And so these things I had, and it was just for an investment purpose, very nice stone. And then I was building a house, and I was working my butt off, and I was traveling. And it was like all of these things were just happening. And I was like, as it got towards the end of the year, and then reconnected in a different way. And, you know, it was just like, okay, well, you know, actually the things are lined up to where this can happen. And I was like, let's go. And, you know, I think I had just turned 37, right? I just turned 37.
Yes.
Yeah, I had just turned 37. So I was 36 and then 37 in November. Couple days or week after my birthday is when I met your family. And then boom, here we go.
And so while my mom is like, googly eyes over Max, so happy about him. My dad was so upset. My dad was like, Wafat, collect yourself. And you're making it too easy. Like, you had to go through the grilling process for it to be proper.
Yeah.
And I think, like, what I loved about you the most during that process is that you were really understanding and you respected it. And you were like, if I had a daughter, I'd want that same type of mentality or process. Like, it's not easy and you need to make sure that you have all the qualifications and the qualities.
Yeah, I mean,
when you come,
when you think about marriage and you think about having, from my perspective, we don't have kids yet, inshallah, one day. You know, when you think about your kids and they get to a certain age, and especially your daughters, because they're so precious, you think about, okay, I'm going to let this, my daughter, go out into the world. Why? And I've been here my whole life, so I understand what's good and bad when it comes to men. Let me at least check to make sure this man has certain standards and qualifications before they take my daughter out this house. Because what if they can't provide a home? She has a home here. What if they can't provide her food? We have food here. What if they can't provide her, you know, certain things? We have all of those here. So why would I let her leave here to go to a worse situation than you currently have? And you want to make sure there's certain stable. And I think a lot of people, you know, in the beginnings, a lot of people, you were going after me for my money. And people had no idea that the process I had to go through to make it happen, and not you going through to make, you know what I'm saying? It's not like you courted me and swindled me. Like, I willingly went through this process to where it was like, I know what I'm doing. It was people that had not my friends, just people on the internet that had an input about, yo, she's marrying you for your money, and they don't have any. And they don't even understand, like, but then people think you don't have any money. And that's the thing.
Wait, it's always, but you know what? People are very uncomfortable with money. People are very uncomfortable when they see you making money. People are uncomfortable when, you know,
that's so money many is like, there's a lot of cultures have that problem.
Yeah, but like, if money is important to you, I don't know why people have a problem with that.
Yeah.
It's really weird. And I love that we always have that relationship where we're just like hustling and like, we talk about money so openly, like it's not evil.
I think the question is, to most people, would you want to be with someone that is not financially stable? Would you want to start the relationship that way? It makes it tough. There's over 50% of people that get married get divorced. And the number one reason is because of financial reasons. And so if you know the statistics behind why people get a divorce, if you could nip it in the butt before you start, don't you want a successful marriage? So I think it's equally, I think it's a very necessary question for the father of the bride or for the bride herself to know the financial situation of who they're what they're getting into, because it's the number one reason why people get a divorce. So why start on the wrong leg?
Listen, and I never could, even if I wanted a Hollywood love story, the way my family is set up, that would never happen. Like, I would never go through struggle love because of the family checkpoints that a person would have to, that you had to go through, or anybody in my family.
Yeah.
Like, my dad always made sure to provide and protect us. He bought me my first car. He put me through college.
You live in a nice, grew up in a nice place in New York, and like all these things, it's not like you're the richest, you know, you don't have to be a millionaire to get married, but you need to be financially sound and fit. I think it's important.
Because I think it's very important.
How do you take care of your wife and then the ensuing family that comes after that? You want to make sure that you have, and I'm not saying it doesn't have to be a millionaire. You just need to be financially stable and fit. And I think you can't leave that equation out in love.
And people are like, oh, so if Max was broke, you wouldn't marry him?
I wouldn't marry me if I was broke either.
The answer is no, and I don't know why it bothers people so much. Like,
and it doesn't mean
broke. Like, why would I have to end up with somebody? What is up with it? Why would I have to end up with somebody broke? Why can't I have somebody financially stable?
Yeah.
Like, what's the evil about that? Why does that make me a gold digger?
I think it's just people are uncomfortable talking about it, talking about money. But I think it's a necessary thing. I think if we all set that standard, then it becomes a recommendation, because I don't think you should enter into a situation where you take the responsibility of caring for someone if you can't care for yourself. I don't see the issue.
Okay, what made my heart at ease at most when it came to marriage is that my family loved you.
Yeah, and our families loved each other.
Our families loved each other. Everything was like, by God's grace, going so easily. Like, it was meant to be. It was literally meant to be. And for my mom, who you know, is a very difficult person, and she is cutthroat, before she even met Max, I showed her a picture
that she did not want to see.
Yeah. First of all, I'm unloading. It was the first time I'm telling my mom about Max, and I'm just unloading a bunch of facts on her. So she's just getting hit left and right with like random things. And she's like taking it once at a time. And I'm trying to like ease her in. But first I'm like, Mom, somebody's coming for my hand. She's cheesing, so happy. Then I'm like, I want to tell you something. He's not Egyptian or Arab, he's Jamaican. And then she was like, okay. Like, she started getting curious, tell me more. Is he Muslim? And I was like, yes, he converted. And then she's like, is he really practicing, or is it just like, she's trying to put the pieces of the puzzle. Yeah, is he just like saying he is so he can come and then switch sides, or like, is he actually like serious? And I'm like, no, he's serious. He, you know, he converted before we even came together, and like, he's serious about the religion. So then I'm like, Mom, can I show you a picture of him? Because I don't know what she was thinking, like with all the random thoughts. And I'm like, he's a pilot. She's like, he's a pilot. Like, so many things. I'm like, he does real estate. You know how you have like 20 million different things that you do.
It's the Jamaican in me. Eight jobs. Oh.
You can't sit down for 1 second. But anyway, so I'm like, Mom, can I show you a picture? And she's like, no, all dramatic. You know, my mom is very dramatic. I'm like, no, my heart can't take it. What if I get connected to the picture and things don't work out? I'm like, what? So I just pull up a picture and I'm like, this is him. And I swear to God, once, I don't know how, calm down.
I want to know what picture you showed her. You got to tell me one day. I never asked you that.
It was when you were in Ghana wearing a kaftan.
Oh, okay.
It was like a cream kaftan, and you were just standing there. So I showed her the picture. She's like, my heart is at ease.
That's a good picture.
She just knew it is a good picture.
I mean, the kaftan.
I had to scroll. Imagine, you know, when you're showing, you know, how people, when they show their men for the first time, they have to scroll for the perfect picture.
What were your thoughts if I came to your house and your family was like, I ain't digging this guy? Did you ever think about that?
I thought about it, and I think it would be a really big red flag, because these are people that known me all my life that, I mean, I wouldn't trust the process 100%, but I would definitely listen to why. Like, if it was unreasonable, then I'd be like, all right, we're fighting right now. We're going to fight through to the wedding, you know? But if it was reasonable, or if it was like things about like real things warning me,
yeah,
I would keep an eye open.
What did I tell you I would do if that happened?
I'm really... Didn't I tell you guys I don't need blush for this episode? Okay. This was one of the hottest things you've ever said to me.
What did I say?
I've never shared this publicly. But you said, if your father says no to me, I will buy the house next door and knock on the door every single day until he says yes.
I was serious. That's
very romantic.
I was serious.
And you know, and I was like, stop, you're just kidding. And then Max would be like, no, I'm being dead serious right now. And I was like, oh, okay. But yeah, there was no need for that.
Didn't have to do it.
Yes. Oh, so happy. Okay, so fast forward. We're married. We go on this crazy honeymoon in Dubai.
Dubai, Egypt, then Dubai again. We're gone for six weeks.
What was your impression of Dubai, like of the Middle East?
I love Dubai. I love Dubai for more than the reasons that people, you know, that go there for vacation. I love Dubai because I'm an entrepreneur, and I love that they have this. I love New York for its hustle, and I love Dubai for the same hustle. Prettier hustle. They have trash cans and stuff like that. It's clean.
Oh my God.
But no, I really love Dubai because as an entrepreneur that has a unlimited imagination, it lends to my creativity to be able to think that the impossible is possible, right? And so, you know, it just, I like a lot about it, but that is the biggest thing the biggest thing that I like about Dubai is it allows you to think with the unlimited imagination, because that is very aligned with what they do. Everything is possible. And so as an entrepreneur and somebody that's not done working yet or not done creating yet, I love that about it.
Okay. So I have two juicy questions.
Yeah.
Did you have any misconceptions about like Muslim or Arabs before you met me that got cleared up quick, and the Middle East? Before you went to the Middle East, did you hear?
You know,
like,
that was
a lot
not
of
my first time in the Middle East, right?
What?
You do know I've been in Istanbul.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, no, I did not. I was well traveled.
Oh, yeah. Okay, you got me with that
yeah,
one.
Yeah, I was a well traveled. I was a well-traveled person, maybe not on a leisure, but I was a well-traveled person. I've been to a lot of places. So no, I didn't have any. I am a person that, you know, I like all cultures. I think that's what that's what I love the most about, you know, being around New York. It's one of the best things available in New York. So I love all cultures. I like to immerse myself in all cultures. When you see me traveling, I'm putting on what the locals got on. You know, I am eating the locals' food no matter where I am. And so, no, I didn't have anything to clear up. And then, you know, one of my best friends, Nas, he's Muslim. He's not Arab, but he's Muslim. And he's the one who got me into Islam and converted anyways.
That's true. You know, before we got to Dubai, I think I had hyped it up so much. I'm like, you're going to have an amazing time. It's above anything, to the point where we were at a resort. We were at Al Maha Resort in Dubai. And it was a very exclusive, quiet resort.
There's only like 44 villas there on all this land.
And we had our whole own villa and it was like our honeymoon and you were like itching. You're like, I gotta go. I want to go explore Dubai. And I'm like, what is this? Like the last day we were in Al Maha, which was the fourth day, right? It was the fourth day.
Yeah.
We left early because you were ready to go explore Dubai. Like you were excited.
Let me explain. Let me put some context behind this. I'm a very active mind. And then somebody saying, we're going to Dubai. I'm researching it. It's my first time in Dubai, but not the Middle East. And so I'm like, I want to go. There's so many things I want to do. This is our honeymoon. So we go do the honeymoon portion and we're on this resort. Very, very exclusive resort. Beautiful. I mean, the sand, it's just amazing. But after 3 or 4 days, you start to get like, I start to itch because I know just an hour under our way is Dubai. I need to go see all of these things. You know, it's like the imagine, it's like a kid driving to Disney World. Like, I'm like, are we there yet? And so I had fun.
And I'm over here trying to enjoy the honeymoon. I have somebody over here itching and trying to go explore all the technology that's available.
Because you've been there already. And that was my first time.
Yeah. But, you know, it was super cool because I could see when we were on our honeymoon in Dubai and Egypt, you like the way you adapt and deal with people and the way that you leave your imprint on people is so amazing. Like people really don't know, like you could be in any room and like not only master it, but like the give and take between people is just, I love seeing it.
No, I enjoy people and I enjoy cultures and I enjoy intellectual conversations. And so when you put all those two together, it's like the ultimate me comes out.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think like I was so glad we had our honeymoon in Dubai. Like I would not rather, I think I'm trying to say, I'm trying to say I wouldn't have it anywhere else. It was a perfect honeymoon destination.
I agree.
In my opinion, even the first 4 days, sir.
I agree with you. It was fun. I had fun the whole time. Seriously.
Okay. And then moving forward, for me, it was really scary to move initially. I was excited. No. Okay. Let me say this. I was super excited to move to a new state, but I was nervous about the big change and what that would do with social media and my career and if I would still like have opportunities and grow my platform. Were you nervous about anything when you were getting married? Were you scared your businesses were like any part of your businesses were going to go down or up or what? Tell me the truth.
I expected some, you know, a lot of my businesses run without me. There's very little input. And by the time we got back from honeymoon, I hadn't worked in about 2 or 3 months. And then even when we got back, it took us a couple months to get settled in. I wasn't really worried. I was worried a little bit, but it wasn't anything that was worried. Like, let me tell you, I had goals. I had revenue goals for the companies. And I knew that without my presence and the drive of me being there, I could risk the not hitting the goals, but it's fine. We're doing okay. But moving to North Carolina, you should be. I mean, moving anywhere, you got to understand, you have been in New York your entire life. You spent all 28 years there in New York, you know, and all of your adult life, all of your teens to adult in that one house. And so it's a change. You expect to be somewhat scared or nervous or something. So
it was a shock. Like for me, it was like a shock that would happen over time. It wasn't like I had like an anxiety attack one day. It was like, you know, slow things. Like when I started like putting my clothes into boxes and moving it.
And
like
you had that really emotional video up on Instagram that day of you crying, packing. You remember?
Oh my God, it was, yeah. And I had like a video, like the last day I was in my room since childhood. And then, like my mom's reaction, getting married and leaving the house. Like, so many different things. It was different days. I mean, some days she was, ooh, like, celebrating, happy. And then some,
it's she was
like
trying to be tough. She was always tough. Even in the video at the wedding, she was acting tough. And you know she wanted to cry.
Really?
Yeah. And remember in the video when you guys were doing, like, makeup or something in the back?
Oh, yeah.
We've never released our wedding video, have we?
We never did.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, we got to do that.
You think so?
Yeah, we should put it, we should commentary it and put it out on our combined channel.
Oh, that would be amazing.
Yeah, we should do that.
That would be amazing. Okay, I know, I'm obsessed with our relationship. I keep talking about it, but I want to ask you one thing. Now that you're 10 months in. We're 10 months in.
Is it?
10 months, almost 10 months. What is one pet peeve you have about me? And be nice, because I have one ready. And what is one thing that's a positive about marriage?
Pet peeve.
Here, let me say mine.
Go ahead, because I don't know if I really have a full pet peeve yet.
Yeah, because I'm perfect. I think I'm perfect. So it's going to be really hard for you to find one. Mm. Keep thinking, keep squeezing. Oh, you're going to be there forever. But I have one about you.
What?
So Max has this thing where any bottle that he drinks, he always leaves like a quarter of it. Like, he never finishes a bottle.
Not a quarter. It drives me crazy.
Yeah, no. This is like what? One eighth?
Whatever.
He leaves like this much behind. Every water bottle, it's never like a finished bottle, and it drives me crazy. I even say this to you. I'm like, so you're going to just leave this much behind? Like, you can't finish the water bottle?
That's it? That's the worst thing?
That's the pet peeve. It's a pet peeve.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's like one thing that irritates me about you.
I have one.
Go ahead.
That no matter what we're doing in the morning, you have to have... No, I have two.
Oh.
No, I'm going to do one because one's not really a pet peeve. One is just like you're silly.
A what?
Yeah. So you have to have a cup of coffee in the morning, no matter how late we may be running, or you don't care about like that we're going to be running late. You have to have this cup of coffee that she carries around all day long with, you know, that bottle of water she just pulled out. She always has a cup of coffee and a bottle of water together all day long.
Hydration is important.
And can never carry all of them with a purse. And then you end up carrying something for her.
Hydration is very... First of all, I don't know how to function in the morning unless I have a cup of coffee.
That's what I mean.
And I don't know how you do it. I don't trust anybody who doesn't drink a cup of coffee in the morning. They don't understand, okay? It's really, really important.
I don't need an alarm to wake up either.
Yeah. Oh, that's another one.
No, that's not a bad thing.
That's not a bad thing. It's just weird. You wake up at 5:36 in the morning every day naturally.
Go to bed on time.
Freakazoid. Okay, I want to ask you, getting into social media, I know I'm jumping topics, but I'm just like curious. Did you ever feel like doing social media? Like, what was a negative part of doing social media for you?
I mean, if you care what people think or say about you, that's a negative. But I've grown very fast to not care about that. So, no, I don't see a negative. I think the positive outweighs. And the reason why I don't see a negative is because too many people in public have came up to me and tell me how I've changed their life and how I've impacted their family. And no matter what anybody says about me or anybody else online that I'm connected to, it doesn't matter. Because when you have other humans come up to you and tell you that the information that you've put on some type of video has been able to help them change their life, you don't care what the naysayers or the negative people say. I more worry about the people that's negative in the sense like that can come up and write a whole comment that's negative. But other than that, I don't have a real negative thing about being on social media at all.
Do you feel like because you started in real estate, you have to be always stick to that box?
No, I don't feel like I have to. I jump in and out of love of making those videos. So you'll see that with my content. People know me for real estate and I'm cool with that. I love real estate. It's created financial freedom for me. But there's so many other, I'm an entrepreneur. I own, you know, two software companies. I own an airplane assembly manufacturing company. I own a flight academy where we teach students how to become airline pilots from zero all the way up. You know, I own a production company. You know, just like people look at the content and think that it's normal. And it's like, no, there's a whole, you know, I mean, you know, babe, we invest a lot of money on studio, on equipment. And I really understand social media and what it's for. And we do real well at it.
And I think the difference between us and a lot of people on social media is, first of all, we're very dedicated and passionate about it, to the point where, like, we will hop into a plane and go wherever we need to go and work our butts off and, like, make sure everything is done properly. Like, you know, we're very, like, we prioritize our projects and our content to the point where, like, you know, we're very on it.
Yeah. And not only that, we make a lot of risk. We take risk. We put investments. I mean, we probably got $250,000 in just this little building we're sitting in behind. Well, I'm sitting, you're in the house, behind the house. Like, a lot of people probably thinking why we did this separately, because I have my workspace and she has hers. And so it just been easier. But yeah, we spent a lot of money on this, and we take risk. I mean, your mom's coming out with a cookbook.
Yeah.
That's amazing. I've been able to watch that process and watch y'all hustle. Your mom flying back and forth from New York to North Carolina. That's a big investment, not only with money, but with time.
Yeah. So a few things that I want to ask you, like, more about what you're working on, but, like, a few things, like, people are always like, "Mate, what do you do for work? What do you work on? Blah, blah, blah. How do you make money?" So, a lot of times, I make money through, like, views on Instagram or TikTok, and then I do a lot of sponsorships. I think
partnerships
are my main income, but I still get good income from my most consistent income is from views. And I want to say specifically Instagram views. I get a good amount of money.
No, you can make more money with partnerships.
But I'm saying the most consistent. Partnerships go in and out.
They're pretty consistent.
For me, yes. But I'm saying, can you let me speak?
I look at the numbers. I see the stuff every day.
Okay. Well, okay. Views and then partnerships. I do consistent partnerships.
Very picky on those, by the way.
Yes.
So out of 10 pitches, you may accept one or two. Like, so for 100%. 10 companies that want to work with you, you usually pick between one or two. And you usually look for long-term relationships and not the short grab.
Yep. Yep. I want to add to that, but I think you said everything.
Yeah.
Because, you know, honestly, when you come at an angle where you're very passionate about your brand, you don't accept anything. Like, you really love and value. Like, this right here is my baby. The podcast, my Instagram, my TikTok, everything is my baby. So it's like, if I want to associate my name, I want to make sure that it's very authentic, that it's, you know, it's a partnership that values me, and it's really good for my audience as well. Like, they'll love it.
Yeah, it's got to be mutually beneficial.
Yep, 100%. And then projects like that, like a cookbook that I'm working with my mom, I'm very excited about, because, you know, my mom, like, just seeing her at another level and seeing, like, what this has become and taking her on this journey with me has been so surreal. Like, us creating a cookbook and then we're going to have a book tour and we get to meet people in person and, like...
You're saying, you know, a lot.
I know.
Here's what I think is cool about it. To be able to see you and your mom, especially your mom, be this... Like, because she retired as a school teacher and she was like, you know, she's on Crew Street. And then she gets thrown into social media, somewhat resistant. And now she's active and now she's doing her own thing. And now she's putting out this cookbook. And then she was like, and one thing that always sticks to me, she always say, "I would never thought that at this age, my friends say at this age," you know. So it's cool that she's able to do, like, live a second life, you know, in the sense of, like, being young again and doing what she never thought she would do, but keeping herself active. I think it's amazing. And she loves doing it. It's hard work. I mean, I see your mom. She writes books. You guys have meetings. She flies into town. She cooks 20 dishes in 4 days. You know, she's back. She's taking pictures. She's doing podcasts. She's, you know, and she's older just like my mom. So I know my mom likes to relax and as much as she can. And so now your mom is, like, working again, like she's 24. But it's cool. I like it. Keeps you young.
She's breaking her back. Whoa, what was that?
Keeps you young.
Do you think who's funnier, me or my mom?
You're equally.
Are you kidding?
No, here's the thing. I like your mom's humor. It's not the same as yours. It's totally different. It's like watching two different types of Netflix. Like, you got the Kevin Hart, and then you have somebody that has, like, this dry, serious humor. So I think you're funny. She's funny as well too. I can't say she's not. Who's funnier?
Depends on my mood. Deflecting. No.
Sometimes you get on my nerves too. So it depends.
No, you didn't get on my. You're getting on my nerves right now.
It's normal.
Ooh. We'll talk about this
later.
Okay, tell me about this flight school. Okay, I want to say Max never does one thing halfway. He always takes it to level 10,000. So when you said, oh, I'm a pilot, I fly my own plane, I knew that wasn't the end of it. And to see what you're making out of your experience and providing careers for so many people all over the world is so exciting. Like, can you explain your flight school and the impact? Because I don't think you really tell people what this means, especially in our community of Winston-Salem, our small community.
So, you know, we created a flight school, and the flight school is to solve a problem. And a lot of you guys may not really realize, but there's been a lot of delayed flights in the last 2 years. And yes, weather's a part of it, but a part of it, there's a shortage of pilots. And because of that, because of furloughs from the airlines and because of early retirement during the pandemic, when they had a lot of captains that took early retirement, and the training was paused for a year or so because of COVID, what happened was we stopped creating pilots, and we weren't creating them at a fast enough pace anyways. So right now, the worldwide demand is about 80 to 90 pilots every single day. 89 to 90 new pilots every single day need to be created. And so we're not creating pilots fast enough. And so I thought it would be an awesome idea to help people become pilots. And one thing I'm very passionate about is allowing communities that never thought that they could be pilots, you know, black and brown people like myself, to be pilots. You know, it's not something we talk about. And most pilots, 69% of pilots, current pilots, family members were in aviation. And so if your family wasn't in aviation, the likelihood of you becoming a pilot is very slim. And I want to change that. And so I want regular people, 9 to 5 people, somebody that works at regular places to do a new career and become pilots, because being a pilot is a very rewarding job. You're doing not only yourself a service, but it's how we trans all over the place. And so we're part 141 flight school, which means we are full time. It's like a college. You come in, you're full time in less than 99 months. Most people in 6 months, you can become qualified. You can have enough, you know, not hours. You don't have the experience yet, but you have the qualifications in order to be an airline pilot. And then in the next 6 to 8, 9 months after that, you're building your experience time, and then you go fly regional. So one thing I'm really excited about is that we are going to be on a visa program, meaning that students from all over the world will help you get your visa to come to America to be a full-time student so that you can learn how to be a pilot.
That's awesome. Hopefully none of my family in Egypt is listening to that program.
Come on down. We got extra room in the house.
No, that is awesome. And I know one of your most viral videos was you explaining the perks of being a pilot.
Yeah.
And people were shocked that you were a pilot to begin with. Because they were just like, wow.
I think it's only 3% of pilots are black, and then only less than 6% are minorities, period. And then even less are women. And so it just becomes like, you know, this thing where you're shocked because you've never seen somebody look like me just flying a plane for fun or taking myself from meeting to meetings. And so I think now that, you know, me and my friends are taking that, going to social and showing you, hey, yeah, you too can be a pilot and make a career out of it.
Okay, so how much can a pilot make after they finish your program?
Like 6 figures right away. So the moment you get a regional airline job, you're at 6 figures. And that's 100,000. And I just was recently talking to a captain, an airline captain. He said they're giving the regional guys sometimes even 6-figure bonuses to sign up.
Are you serious?
Yeah, like they're giving like $50,000-$80,000 signing bonuses because it's such a competitive. I don't know how long this is going to last, but the demand that they have forecast is for 2036. Like from now to 2036.
Wow.
And so if you're a senior airline captain, you're making $300,000 to $400,000 a year, working about 80 hours a month.
That's insane.
Yeah.
And so you said 6 to 9 months, then you start making 6 figures?
Yeah.
And what's the name of this school? What? How come you haven't name dropped at all? Are you gatekeeping? What is the name of your school?
You know, it's the Look Up Flight Academy. Look Up Flight Academy.
Look Up Flight Academy.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear any excuses about, oh, I don't know how to make some money.
I know flight school is typically these training programs cost about $90,000 to $100,000. Our program is around $69,000, but we have tuition. We have a funding partner, and you take out just like you go to regular school. And the difference between this money and regular school is that, you know, with your qualifications and getting your experience, you're under 2 years. So in 2 years, you'll be making six figures. In 9 months, you'll be making $25 an hour because you become a CFI and you'll be flying. That's how you gain your experience. Most people
CFI?
Do.
CFI?
Certified Flight Instructor.
I know what that is. Can you explain it for everybody else?
Yeah. Certified Flight Instructor. So after you get your qualifications from the school, you end up working at the school as a certified flight instructor, training new students. And that's how you gain your experience.
Is that how like the military is? Like first you're I don't know the term. First you're a student, then you become a corporal, bully the kids that torture
not,
them
no.
the way other people did? No. Okay. Well, never mind. The Look Up
Flight Academy.
Why am I thinking about Look Up Aviation? Is that
that's our other company? So it's Look Up Aviation.
So many companies.
Look Up Flight Academy. Look Up Aviation. We build planes. Look Up.
See, I told you he doesn't do one thing. He does a full circle.
Yeah,
all
vertical.
Every part of the business. Okay, cool. And this is exciting, though. It's really exciting because you get to see people who don't even think about being a pilot as a career. I didn't even think, like, when I was going through college, I never met anybody who was like, oh, I want to be a pilot for airlines.
Yeah, usually they're going to, like, an aeronautical school, like Embry-Riddle. It's like $140,000, something like that.
Cool.
You're so goofy.
I'm so goofy. I can't. I have a crush on you. You want to meet up after this?
I'm married.
You want to hang out?
I'm sorry. I'm married.
Ugh, one of those loyal guys. Why do people always ask me if you want four wives? Are you saying that on the internet or something? And I'm not catching it?
I guess not. I can't even barely keep up with one, much less try to add two or three more. Yeah, right.
Ladies, that's the secret. That's the secret. Make sure you give him headaches. Makes his head spin 24/7. Make sure he's all stressed out, so he doesn't even think about getting
That's
another
not
woman.
Good advice.
That's not good advice, but it's called reverse engineering. Make him hate his life. And okay, so another question I get a lot is, was Max always Muslim? Is Max always Muslim?
No, I wasn't born a Muslim. No, I converted.
Was it because of me?
No.
Because everybody thinks that, you know, this is the love story. You fall in love, there's a religious difference, the person converts, then they get married, and then it was like, oh, I only converted for the religion. But it was completely different.
I mean, we've heard stories like that have worked out successfully and worked out bad. But no, you were not the reason for me converting to Islam at all.
Okay, cool. And then, yeah, that's it. Anything else that you're excited about that you're working on?
No, I'm excited that you are doing this podcast. And the reason why I'm excited is because people get to know more about you beyond these short clips that they get to see on the internet. And because people ask a lot. People don't know about your business side. People don't know what you're passionate about outside of this. And so I think, and then what are your views and your on certain things? So I think that, you know, maybe you should do more podcasts where you just talk about things by yourself. I know you got a lot of cool guests. I've seen the lineup. And I'm actually interested in learning more about some of the other guests you have, because I've seen very, very successful people that you interact with. And I'm like, man, I want to know what they're like. Like there's one couple in Dubai. I really want to watch that podcast.
Who?
Like, you know who it is.
Who?
I want to meet them the next time I go out to Dubai too.
I know who it is. Khaled and Salama.
Yeah. I know.
I need to get, Khaled is going to come on the podcast soon. And Salama needs to get on the podcast soon too.
He's a boss. And then he's like, I know him and I would just click because he seems very analytical like myself.
Very analytical. He reverse engineers like you do.
Yeah.
But yeah, podcasting for me is very, very new. And I think you've been doing it for a very long time. So I'd love to observe and watch your podcast. And you're so eloquent. I'm like, damn, maybe I got to read some more books or something. Or maybe I'm nervous talking for a long periods of time.
Put that Audible, yes. Put that Audible 12 credits you got to use.
Yes. But I do find like I'm getting more comfortable and more open on this podcast and being able to share more and like clear up a lot of things.
Misconceptions.
And I'm glad we got to speak public. I know we did a YouTube video together explaining how we met and our love story on our YouTube channel.
Put a link to that.
I got to put a link to it. But I think it was awesome that we got to, because, you know, your audience grows every day. People always have questions. Some people didn't watch the video, but it's cool to like clear up. And I learned some things that, you know, I forgot about. I did know that you were in love with me and you had to go through a bunch of obstacles. But it's nice to hear. It's nice to hear. Anything else you want to add to that?
No, I think that's it. I think you're doing great. Keep doing this.
Do you want to do some rapid fire questions?
Come on, I'm with you. Let's go. Let's do it. Let's rock and roll.
Okay. Okay, I'm so excited. Okay, these are general rapid fire questions.
Got it.
You cannot think about the answer. You have to say the first thing that comes to mind.
Okay.
Texting or talking?
Texting.
Favorite day of the week?
Monday.
Favorite city in the U.S. besides the one you live in?
Rhode Island.
What?
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I don't know if that's okay, favorite. Well, all right, never mind.
Rhode Island. Oh,
there's a place in Rhode Island that's pretty dope.
I mean, we don't judge here, but okay. Invisibility or super strength?
Visibility.
Why? Why don't you want to be seen?
Because I need to be in places. Get this inside scoop.
If you could travel back in time, what period would you go to?
I would not.
You would not? No. Ooh. Do you snore? I know the answer.
I've heard that I do.
You do.
I know you do too.
Only when I'm sick and my nose is blocked. Say a word in Spanish.
¿Cómo está?
Oh, that's a few words. Okay, but who has it easier, men or women?
Wow.
Say the truth.
Women.
You can't think about it.
Men.
Wait, you said two answers. Yeah, I know. What was the first thing?
Confusion.
Who has it easier,
men or women? It depends on what context you're asking.
No. First thing that came to your head. I told you you can't think about this.
Women.
Why do you say that?
No, you said leave it. No, if I can't talk about it, then let's not talk about it.
No, I want to talk about it. Because I want to get you in trouble.
Yeah, you didn't give me context, so I'm not going to explain something you didn't give me context to. You told me rapid answer, okay?
I'm here to trip you up. Cake or pie?
Pie.
If you could ask God one question, what would it be?
If I could? What do you mean?
Yeah.
I do now.
Wow, I feel like, you know, you're very... creative with these answers. What's your favorite car?
Car, as a kid, a Lamborghini.
Giving presents or getting presents?
Giving presents.
Oh, so hold on. Let's talk about that some more.
Sure.
So you like to give presents?
Yeah, I don't really care to receive presents. So I don't want presents, so I'd rather give them than receive them.
Can I say that I was in New York for 1 week and I came back and Max transformed this room.
Plain room, empty room in our house.
Empty into a whole podcast, and he set up everything. He is very big on giving. But I think you give very thoughtful gifts.
Yeah.
Not like flashy things. They're like useful things. It's not like, here's a Gucci purse. You're just like, here's a podcast room.
You can go buy that yourself. You can buy a Gucci purse yourself. You can't put a podcast room together.
That is true. Oh, my God. And these are gifts that are life-changing. Can you tell people the type of gifts I give you? Like last year for your birthday, what happened at your office?
You got me a Mariachi band, live band. Goodbye. Get out of here.
It was the best. For your birthday last year, I got you a whole Mariachi band. It was five people in the band
playing. Came to my office with all my employees, started singing and dance. I mean, they started playing. It was dope. It was just a surprise.
Because, like, what do you get a man that has everything or could buy everything? You got to give him experiences. And right. So for me, I was like, let me wake him up and shock the whole office and... lift spirits.
It worked. It was fun, though.
Okay. Ask permission or beg forgiveness?
Beg forgiveness.
Oh, my God. I want to know more. What's your favorite carnival food?
Elephant ear? Turkey. I like the turkey legs, too, though. It'd be bomb.
What's the capital of New York?
Syracuse.
Dark chocolate or milk chocolate?
Milk chocolate.
May. That's all I have for today.
You're stupid.
Listen, I always try to end this podcast with having everybody encourage or give a piece of advice you want to anybody who's listening out there to this episode. So if you had to leave everybody with something to think about, what would you leave them with? Max Maxwell.
I would say that your imagination is your friend. Think about back when you were 2 years old, 3 years old, 4 years old. That imagination has allowed you to do whatever you want to do. And I think we lose that imagination as adults. So find that imagination and know that you can be anything you want to be. Because if I can come to America, if my parents could come to America and I can be born in, first generation American and have success, you can do too. And so I really want everybody to know that they can do it and use your imagination because it takes you places.
Habibi, that was so sweet. That was awesome. Look at you. I'm so proud I married you. I'm so proud of you. Listen, don't you have anything exciting coming up, like a book or something? Do you want to share that?
You know, I'm writing a book. It's almost done. It's been a very, very, it's more about life and more about, you know, the things that I think that I've been able to look at. That's helped shape me. But As it comes along, I'll talk about it sometime. Maybe I'll come back.
Yeah, and Max is like 65, so he has a lot of life experiences.
I feel like I'm 65.
He's been
through a lot.
He's been to different like nursing homes and like, you know,
searching for you. Go ahead.
Anyways, everybody, thank you for listening to another episode of the Mazeball podcast. I'm going to put Max's usernames. If you don't know him, come on. You got to follow him below. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast. Thank you guys so much for listening. Until next time.
All right, babe. Love you.
Bye.
Peace.
Bye, baby. Love you.